Today's passage is taken from Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. May God bless us in the reading of His Word. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Today, we are blessed to have Dr. Ashley T. speak to us from the passage we have just read. May God open our hearts to receive from His message titled, Finishing Well with Jesus. Dr. Ashley, please.
Hi, Grace Church, EC family. Greetings. Yeah. And Pastor, just now, actually, I answered two of the questions correct. You know, the place and the speaker. I will have half. All right. All right. First, I would like to take this opportunity to thank Grace Church for the support. For myself, it has been 27 years, and for my family, 18 years, since Grace have sent our family to South Asia in 2002. And we are truly grateful for your prayers, for support and encouragement, and also very thankful to be home in Singapore. There are two most important dates in our lives, and first, is the one that you were born. And the second is the one that you find out why you were born. Because when we believe in Jesus, we discover our new purpose and meaning in life. However, living as with a new identity in Christ as a Jesus followers is not a smooth journey, because for some nationalities, believing in Jesus had to pay a high price. And many times, it's not like us in Singapore or in Malaysia, where we believe, we say, okay, at this day, I commit my life to Christ. It's an event. But for them, for many of them, it's a long and long process. It's a long journey for them to just remain in Christ. And sadly, and many of them have left their faith between the first or second years since they believe in Jesus. And this sad reality is not just in our modern world, but also during the first century in the Hebrew community. Hence, the author who wrote and encouraged them to keep their faith. The text doesn't mention who is the writer. Traditionally, he attributed to Paul, Apostle Paul, but in a modern scholar, he appeared that proposed that Apollo as the author. Shall we read the text together? 1, 2, 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses,
let us throw off everything that hinders and
so easy entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before Him. Thank you. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and therefore is a continuum from the context of chapter 11. You remember chapter 11, there were many names, the heroes of faith, the great cloud of witnesses, there were mentions. Remember, they say, by faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, so and so, and continue. There are many names, in that chapter. And these heroes of faith have paved the way for us to follow their footsteps. However, they can't cheer us on physically. If not, it can be quite scary, right? But they cheer us on with their lives and testimony, inspire and encourage us to continue our race. And next, you say, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sins that so easily entangles. The two key purposes of the author were to encourage first the Hebrew believers not to fall back to their old Jewish religious practice, but also encourage them to move forward to endure the hardship and persecutions from the Roman empires. If you read in the book of Hebrews in chapter 6, the author wrote, "For how can those who abandon their faith be brought back to repentance again? They were once in God's light. They tasted heavenly gift and received their share of the Holy Spirit. They knew from experience that God's word is good, and they have felt the power of the coming age, yet they abandoned their faith." As you read through the Bible, from the Old Testament, the Israelite, or the New Testament, from Demas to Judah, you see that many who believe in Christ, who believe in God, but they left their faith because of the love of the world. A former Fuller Theological Seminary professor, Robert Clinton, a well-respected leader who spent 6 years in his research, close to 10,000 characters, both from in the Bibles or from the modern words. And his conclusions are, many start well, but few finish well. To be honest, none of us, when we started the race, were thinking we don't want to finish well. Our spirit is willing, but sometimes we were tempted, and easily we give in, then we give up. And in the Clinton's research show, there are 7 most common race enders. Means that the sins that hinders our race, and his research still applicable in our Asian context. I'll name it. The first one is the abuse of finance. You know, since I came back to Singapore several months ago, I saw quite a number of them who have been in fraud or scam, and many are involved, not just a man, but also a woman. And the second, the abuse of power. And third, illicit sexual relationship. Fourth, pride. And the fifth, I think can be quite applicable to, my wife from Hong Kong, for Hong Kong and Singapore, is the neglect of our bodies. And we work hard, sometimes we work too hard, right? And we got burnout. You know, burnout is not so much of we're giving too much, but rather we're giving out from our empty tank. And the sixth is critical family issues, like marriage or children issues that consume our time and energies. And the last one is plateau. Plateau means there's no spiritual growth. So there's a reflection question here is, what are the things that easily hinder your race? I mean, your walk with the Lord, or sins that might disqualify you from this race? And in our context, and in Singapore, certainly I can name a few. I'm not sure about you, but I think emotional health, I think is an issue that not just during the COVID, but after the COVID. And how about trust? The latest research that is going to publish in August by Luzon Movements, and mentions that there's research across the world that not just a Gen Z or the Alpha, they have a really lack of trust with not just Christian entity, but also Christian leaders. How about financial pressure in Singapore? This morning, my wife and I, we took a bus to church, and there's a young man, I think maybe he's in, not really young, but in his 40s, and he sat down, and the auntie next to him asked him, like, and tried to have a conversation with him, and auntie asked him, are you married? He said, no. Then they communicate in Chinese, you know, they say no, the auntie asked, why? He said, I can't even, you know, take care of myself, how can I take care of a wife? And they keep asking. I think it's a lot of, I think a common trend, right, for the young people. They don't want to get married, and because of many, perhaps financial issues. I do not know what is the context you are facing, but I think it's good to take time to reflect, you know, what are the things that really, really easily hinder your race. You know, for us as believers, Jesus followers, reaching the finish line is critical, but the journey on the race is equally important. And what kind of person you will be through your race. Again, you know, as a brother in Christ, just remind you that, you know, don't, because of whatever you're doing and you neglect your family or your friends or people whom you love, and even at the end, God himself. Because I know a leader, he was my leader, he has been serving faithfully in our organization for the past 40 years, very passionate, committed all his life for the Lord. One day, he returned home. He saw his luggage outside of the house, and that was the last time he entered the house. His wife and the children say, Dad, or husband, or whatever, don't come back. They're still, you know, the family is still separated. So all this just encouragement for you as you are so busy with the things that you're doing. Don't neglect your family. Don't neglect your loved one. You know, if we, all of us are on the race, just remember that if you don't meet God on your journey, you might not see him when you arrive at the destinations. In a way that we can be serving God or we can be busy with God, but if you don't meet him in the midst of our journey, perhaps you might not meet God when you arrived. Then the author said, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You know, it's like Paul, the author, used the same analogy of a race, you know, Paul often used in his epistles. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are in the race. A race that God has specially marked out for you. Some of you have longer race, some of you shorter. Some of you more smoother, some of you are harder. But each race is specially designed for you, and no one can run the race for you. Just like Psalm 139, God has created each one of us so uniquely that none of us are the same. It's just I have a twins, and my twins are so different, two or four of them, right? And also our race is not a sprint, when often it's a long and tough race. And all the athletes went through tough training, right? Some of you I know who love sports so much, you know that if you want to be an athlete, you have to went through tough training, very disciplined. And I was young, I was born in Malaysia. I play sports, I play many sports, and I represent a school, I represent my area, and also at the end, I could only represent my state. So I always wish that, you know, one day I could represent my country, but it never happened. But till I became a Singaporean, and the opportunity come, and I represent Singapore for a Master Asia Track and Field. That was amazing. But I just want to say that, you know, a lot of practice, a lot of hard work, a lot of discipline, and you have a trained heart, it's the same as in our spiritual life. They require discipline, spiritual discipline. It requires us to surrender. It requires, you know, to obey. Yeah, and also it asks, require us to focus. I was so proud that, I was able to represent Singapore. At the end, I took part in the event, and I got third. You know, I lost to China, and I lost to India. Anyway, there's only three participants. So in the books here, the author keep saying the words, if you see, he always says, let us. Throughout the whole books, the author keep remember that as a Jesus followers, we are not alone. We are a community. Let's encourage us. We don't run it alone. We don't need to run it alone. There are many people, there's those who have gone before us, can cheer us up and all this. And in God's design and in God's economy, we are created for each other as a Christian community. As I look back for my 27 years, since in 1997 February, I committed to serve the Lord wherever He called me. It has been exciting, but certainly there are times of very difficult. I remember after my first 2 years finished with Doulos, the gospel ships, I returned back. And at the time, my mentor, as also pastors, encouraged me to study. He said, if you want to go long term, it's good for you to go to the seminary. So I took the advice and I went to a seminary. I enrolled in Singapore Bible College in the English department. And it was difficult because English is not my first language, as many of you know. Chinese is my first language. But because I sense that God will call me beyond serving the Chinese in China, perhaps in other countries, so I took on to English departments. I didn't really realize it was so difficult. And because we had to read a lot of books and I had to write papers and exam all in English. As you know, most of you, myself group, and I read my first English book, cover to cover, when I was 27 years old on board the ship. It was tough. True enough, each time after I submitted my paper, I came back, it's all red. It's the whole paper, all red, the lecturer just puts red. And one day my classmate, he saw it. Oh, he said, wow, all red. Then he said, Ashley, you should do our lecturer a favor. When you submit your assignment, you use a red ink and print it. The lecturer just use a black ink and correct. Then it's easy for him. That is friend number four, right? But anyway, cursory short, after just a few months, during my first semester, my lecturer called me to her office and told me that I'm not suitable for theological seminary training. I'm very creative. I say, you are so creative, perhaps you should go and learn some design or some other things. I was really devastated because there was I sensed God had been calling me. So that night I went to our dormitory. I live in a dormitory for 4 years. At the dormitory, we have a rooftop. I went there and I was like feeling very sad and said, ask the Lord, what next? You know, his seminary is not for me, and what next? I sense you have called me. During that time, I think to God's divine appointment, there's a missionary from Thailand. He passed. He also studied there. He also came to a rooftop. So he came to me. I remember he came to me. He asked me why you are here. And I shared. Then he asked me this word. He said, just think of the kingdom of God, where God will direct you. This is something I remember. He just asked me to focus. Focus on the kingdom of God, and God will direct you. And he prayed for me. And amazingly, by God's grace, I passed my first semester, second semester. I passed through all my 4 years, and I graduated. And I'm not just a graduated from SBC. This is where I met my wife, Doris, right, from SBC. You know, sometimes we say single become couple. That's where. And that's where we serve for the last 18 years outside. Okay, back to how can we not be hindered and entangled by our sins and run our race with perseverance? And the answer is, the author say, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Brother and sister, before we believe in Jesus, our enemy was God. I'm not sure you are aware of that. And when we fix our eyes, all our energy and time, everything is on the world. But now we have reconciled with God. Now our enemy is our sins. And they so easily entangle us. Hence we must fix our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, it means many things to many people. I would suggest fix our eyes on Jesus means that you learn to walk with God and listen to the Spirit when the Spirit prompts you in areas that we need to change, in areas that we are not honoring God and we want to surrender and we want to walk with God and we want to walk with God together with other brothers and sisters. And also as we look at the world, you know, I serve for the last 8 years, I serve as a representative for my organization, mainly for Asia. I have to have meeting with other regions. We serve in 148 countries. So often we are different regions, we come together and discuss the challenges, the issue that we face. You know, as we look at the world, you know, we face discouragement, right? Not just about the war, not just about what's happening, not just about the food shortage, and there's so many things. How about leaders' failures? As I share with you, leaders that who couldn't get home, can't even enter the house, and there are so many other things that if we look outside, we look at the world, and we feel discouraged. And we look within, we look at ourselves, at times we look at so many things, and we feel weak, we feel so limited. Therefore, the author encourages us to look at Jesus, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the source of our strength, and He enables us to refocus. And following, He said, "For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning His shame." And Jesus endured the pain and shame on the cross. And He said, "It is finished." And the Greek means that once and for all our debts were, are, and will be paid. And Jesus finished the mission God had assigned Him to do. And He finished well. For the glory of God. In our race, is very different from the world because we are moving, we are racing towards a victory which already won, and we will receive our rewards, the crown of glory and righteousness, because the Bible has said here, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This implies that Jesus has won the victory. This gives you and I the assurance and confidence as we run our race. I played rugby for 6 years, so I love rugby. Recent World Cup, if you, any one of you follow the recent World Cup, South Africa. And it, South Africa, I think, with England. All right. The thing is, because I was, we were in a meeting, so I couldn't watch it on live, but I knew the result. I knew the result that South Africa won by 1 point during the semi-final, and then they move on to final. But I watched the recap, you know, I watched. It was unbelievable because England let beat South Africa 9 points at the first half, he just think that South Africa for sure is gone. But I knew that South Africa won. See, so I watch with very confident. At the end, South Africa will win. I think similarly, no matter how tough, how challenging, we are on this race. And this implied to many, many Jesus followers across the world who face hardship, who face persecution, who face many, many, many challenges. But the confidence is they will reach the finish line with confidence that because Jesus is with us. So when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we can run the race with the assurance that we will finish well. Let me summarize. And this morning, or this afternoon, the author of Hebrews encouraged us to fix our eyes on Jesus, as Jesus has overcome sins and he has won the victory. And one day, all people who persevere on the race will meet and bow down before his throne and glorify him. Hence, let us run our race together with perseverance. With Jesus, we will finish well. Let's close our eyes for some reflections before our prayers. The first questions I have is, when you finish your race and return to glory, will the people you left behind, your family, the loved ones, your friends, or your colleagues, what will they say about you? Will they praise you? Or will they be very disappointed with you? Our race on earth is often a narrow path. It's full with challenges and full with temptations. And what the Lord have impressed on your heart in areas that is so easily entangle us or disqualify us from our race. What will you do about it? Even a small step, a desire to change and finish well. Let's join our hearts in prayers. Our God and Heavenly Father, thank you for many faithful men and women, the heroes of faith, who have loved you and served you sacrificially. None of them were perfect, but yet they kept their eyes on you and they finished the race that you had set before them. And Jesus, help us to fix our eyes on you so that we may keep our faith and run the race and finish well. And help us to trust you in various circumstances. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'll give us grace to persevere till the end. And Holy Spirit, our comforter, encourage our hearts when we are discouraged, when we are disappointed. I promise, Lord, when we are on the wrong path, enable us to turn our eyes away from the world, but fix our eyes on you. And we are grateful for people whom you have put in our lives so that, Lord, we can journey together and keep each other finished well. I pray this for the glory of God. Amen.